From Vermont Public, this is Brave Little State. I'm Burgess Brown.
I see some sea glass, and some ceramic shards, some more pottery.
It's a bluebird day in March on East State Street in Montpelier. Snow is melting, the gold dome of the Capitol building is gleaming, and people are starting to stare. They're staring because I appear to be talking to a wall, and, well, I kind of am. There's a massive granite block retaining wall that runs along the slope of this street, and I'm cataloging this surprising array of stuff that's stuck in its mortar.
Oh, an orange plastic toy dinosaur?
These are all interesting mementos with their own interesting histories, no doubt. But I'm hunting for one object in particular. There's this question that came across the BLS desk. It's been keeping me up at night. It reads, a human tooth, parentheses, molar, is embedded in a retaining wall alongside East State Street in Montpelier. Front Porch Forum has failed to yield the backstory. Help.
Yesterday.
Elvira Dana, who's responsible for this question that's been keeping me up at night, meets me at the wall to point out this peculiar artifact.
And I'm slowing down a little bit because I always have to check my location. So we have to continue a little bit farther here. We are here. We are upon it. This is the tooth in the wall.
The tooth in question. It's hard to believe I could have missed it during my cataloging. It's right at my eye level, neatly wedged into a small mortar-filled crater, with a clear view from root to crown.
It does look really purposeful. It looks like a place where you wouldn't ordinarily need or want mortar, right? Because you have these rough-cut blocks of granite that have not been patched in a similar way. So it really does look like somebody was prepared. They were equipped with, like, tools and mortar.
It looks purposeful, and it also looks huge. I'm no dentist, but this thing does not look like your average-sized tooth. Fortunately, I've come prepared.
Okay, you can open that.
Oh, I'm so excited. Is it calipers? Oh, yes, it is really calipers.
Elvira takes measurements.
17.13 millimeters.
And armed with data, we can begin our investigation. I've been reading a lot of detective novels in my free time, so like any sleuth worth their salt, I start by establishing a timeline of events.
How did you find out about this?
Well, I was thinking about that as I was walking here, and you know, I think maybe one of the neighborhood kids mentioned it to my children, and we found it, but I can't remember.
Okay, so you have kids.
I do, yeah.
And possibly it came through them.
I think so. Lots of things come through kids, you know, be it
disease,
lice.
Sometimes exciting mysteries.
And mysteries, yeah. Yes.
Elvira's originally from Northfield, but now she and her family live just up the hill from the mysterious tooth. She spent the better part of the last 20 years in Serbia and Armenia, managing international student exchange programs. Lately, her focus has been closer to home.
When we were emailing, You described your relationship with this tooth as an obsession. Would you care to elaborate on that?
Oh, that's probably taking it too far. But, like, I am not aware of any other durable human body part embedded in any other element of the infrastructure of the town.
The sea glass, the pottery bits, the toy dinosaur. Elvira tells me those can all be traced back to neighborhood kids. But this tooth? Origins unknown.
It stands out as, like, quite interesting how it got there. Why? Whose tooth is it?
These are the questions.
This is perhaps the most pressing news item of our time and of our community.
The tooth is in a prime location for foot traffic. Workers coming and going from downtown offices and schools letting out just around the corner. Elvira seems to know everyone in town and doesn't let a passerby pass by without interrogation.
The tooth in the wall. What do you know about it?
I'm working on a very important mystery.
Do you know about the tooth in the wall?
Mr. Marley,
the tooth in the wall. Tell us.
A tooth. Do you know?
Most people have no idea what we're talking about.
There's a tooth in the wall over there?
But some do, and they have their own theories about the tooth.
Well, I was told a story.
Oh, what were you told?
So I have not verified it.
My neighbor, Matina Anderson.
Whoever was working on the wall, one of them lost a tooth and they put it in the wall.
Elvira's heard a version of this story too, from her neighbor, John. In his telling, a worker leaves for a dentist appointment and comes right back to work on the wall. Elvira's not buying it.
That just seems unlikely to me. Who is so diligent that they come straight from having a tooth extracted back to the workplace and want to actively participate in the work?
Vanessa Sargent lives just across the street from the tooth and has heard a different origin story from her kids.
They think it's a bear's tooth. That's what they heard.
I've heard this more than once, too.
Yeah, they think it's a bear's tooth. They have no idea how it got there.
That would explain why it's so big. Though Elvira's gut says human over bear.
But I could be wrong. It's not my area of expertise.
Elvira's heard another rumor flying around, too.
I mean, there's sort of a theory that maybe the tooth fairy is involved.
This is where my mind went as well.
Yeah, right? I mean, why else would it be there? And, you know, in other cultures, different things happen with teeth, right? In some countries, you throw a tooth on the roof. In other cases, there's a tooth mouse.
As a woman of the world, Elvira just kind of knows these things.
You know, so there could be some kind of cross-cultural tooth fairy phenomenon that I just don't have the cultural context to interpret.
Cross-cultural tooth fairy phenomenon? This case could be bigger than I thought. Welcome to Brave Little State, Vermont Public's listener-powered journalism show. Today, listener Elvira Dana is powering a whirlwind investigation of a canine caper. Or maybe it's a molar mystery.
You don't get calls about the tooth every day?
Team BLS is slipping on our gumshoes and enlisting the town of Montpelier to crack this case wide open.
It's got to be in the collective knowledge of the city somewhere.
I mean, there's a lot of teeth out there.
There it is, in the wall.
Oh my.
We're a proud member of the NPR network. Welcome.
Thanks for listening to Brave Little State, where we have support from Horsford Gardens and Nursery, Charlotte. Local growers cultivating native trees, perennials, and flowering shrubs for spring planting. Helping visitors find inspiration with seasonal display gardens. Delivery and planting available. HorsfordNursery.com. And Sunset Lake CBD, a farmer-owned business crafting CBD products right here in Vermont. Learn more about their sustainable farming practices, delivery options, and how to support local farmers at SunsetLakeCBD.com.
My deputy detective Elvira and I have taken detailed measurements of the tooth in the wall on East State Street. We've gathered testimonies from the good people of Montpelier, and we've got some promising leads. But we can't get much of anywhere until we know what species we're dealing with. Remember, one of our leading theories is that this big old tooth belonged to a bear.
I was like, well, who knows the teeth of wild animals? It is Rodney Elmer. He knows the teeth of wild animals.
Rodney Elmer, taxidermist, hunter, and Elvira's old neighbor, has been tanning hides and gluing them to styrofoam mannequins for 39 years now. We're in Rodney's workshop in Northfield, surrounded by all manner of hunting trophies and immortalized pets in various stages of the taxidermy process.
Wolf, coyote, foxes, lynx, bobcat, house cats, beaver as well, and muskrats. Definitely see more bear and deer and moose than anything else, by far, but...
Rodney's an expert woodsman and tracker and generally a font of knowledge of the natural world.
Bears are super intelligent and really good at like risk assessment and patterning.
He's seen a lot of bears and a lot of bears' teeth. I think this could be an open and shut case.
They make their living being big, so they're quite a critter.
Yeah. While I'm scheming how to get invited on Rodney's next hunting trip, Elvira gets down to brass tacks.
So this is a picture, it's not a great picture, of the tooth that's in the wall. In Montpelier.
Boy, there's so little to look at there. It could literally, I'd have to almost have it in my hand to really know. You have to see it from all the sides.
So just looking at it, you couldn't say,
no
that's not a bear tooth.
It, like, it could very well be an ungulate of some kind, you know, something that chews a cud. Mm-hmm. It could very well be a human, possibly. Like, there's not quite enough to look at. And even then, I mean, there's a lot of teeth out there. There's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of critters that it could very well be.
Not exactly an open and shut case after all. Our critter lead is taking us nowhere fast. We gotta switch gears.
Much to do.
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to pop into one of the dentist's office. I feel like they're busy people.
We can call ahead or email ahead.
That's more polite.
You seem like the type to just pop in, though. Maybe we do that?
Well,
decorum be damned, we've got a mystery to solve.
We should just go in.
Let's do it.
It's in the direction anyhow where...
Back in downtown Montpelier, Elvira and I pop into Main Street Family Dentistry to hassle some human tooth experts.
And we have, like, a tooth-related question.
Okay.
That we were hoping somebody could maybe help us with.
The cozy waiting room is cramped with patients, while the dentists are very busy doing dentist things. Elvira is undeterred.
So there is a tooth embedded in the retaining wall on East State Street. Are you aware of this tooth?
No. Are you serious?
I am quite serious. We have a photo we can show you.
And it's
oh, yeah, we got you.
You sold us.
Hook, line, and sinker. Hygienists and receptionists huddle around our photo of the tooth.
You know, you can see kind of how big it is.
It kind of looks like a human tooth, but it's so big.
It's pretty big.
But, it could be like a posterior first molar. I mean, yeah, it looks like it was either extracted or the person could have pulled it out themselves or, I mean, I don't know.
Because that would be like an adult tooth, not...
Yeah, oh, for sure, an adult. Yeah.
So, definitely not a baby tooth. We can, unfortunately, strike the tooth fairy from our list of suspects. And without betting their careers on it, the good people at Main Street Family Dentistry are pretty certain we're dealing with a very large, very human tooth. This means that our construction worker story is the clear frontrunner. Elvira's still struggling to imagine that someone would return to work right after receiving a major dental procedure, but hygienist Abby and assistant Monica barely bat an eye.
That, I can see it happening.
For sure. If they had to have that extracted, that could be a tooth that was majorly decayed. They took it out, and they're like, I'm just going to put this in here to leave my mark.
If Abby can believe it, then so can I. Elvira and I leave the dentist feeling hopeful and curious. Who was this construction worker? And furthermore...
What was the mood? Who thought it was hilarious? Did somebody get in trouble? What did the dentist think? Was it, like, good advertising or not?
We have got to find this guy.
Like, who would know? I mean, I guess...
I honestly feel like we could walk into Hubbard and ask a librarian and see what they know.
Oh, well, I know all the librarians. That's where my husband works. Do you want to ask a librarian? Come on, that's fun.
Let's do it.
Another ambush. The Kellogg Hubbard Library is quietly buzzing with borrowers this weekday afternoon. With a renewed sense of purpose, Elvira charges right up to the front desk to interrogate a gaggle of librarians.
I have not heard about this tooth.
Carolyn Picasio, Director of Library Services, self-proclaimed local history nerd.
One of the masons that was building the wall had a dentist appointment to get a tooth pulled while he was working on the wall. And so he leaves for his lunch break and he goes and gets his tooth removed and then he brings it back and he places it in the wall and it's still there. So if you go and scout...
Not only has Carolyn heard the same story that we have, she says she's read about it.
There's an article about it that was in either the Bridge. It was in some local newspaper. If we could look it up. It's not that long ago.
Carolyn's busy this afternoon tending to patrons and keeping the library ticking. In spite of this, she drops everything to help with our investigation.
East State Street tooth. Oh, no, that's not it either.
A librarian on the hunt is a sight to behold. But despite Carolyn's archival prowess, the story of the tooth does not appear to exist on the internet or in any of the books in the Vermont history section. So Carolyn turns her attention to another resource at her fingertips, a Rolodex full of other local history buffs. Up first, Montpelier City Clerk and Treasurer's Office.
For land records, elections, birth, death, and marriage certificates, marriage licenses, dog licenses, and state park passes, press 1.
For business, do you think tooth is going to be an option?
Press 2. Right. For accounts receivable,
I'm just hitting 1, and we'll see if he picks up.
City Clerk's Office, how can I help you?
This is Carolyn Picazio. I'm calling from the Kellogg Hubbard Library, and we're actually trying to figure out the history of the tooth that's embedded in the East State Street wall.
Oh, my.
Did you know about the tooth?
No.
Okay. So
over the next half hour, Carolyn burns through her sources in the History Nerd Network.
Yeah, Beth doesn't know about the tooth.
I can't wait to find out about that.
I don't know.
Seriously? See?
But no one seems to know the story. There is one name, though, of someone who might that keeps coming up.
George. I've got George in my email, I think.
George Edson chairs the newly reformed Montpelier Historical Society. Everyone we've talked to says he's the guy for obscure Montpelier history.
I love stuff like this. It makes me so happy.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Yes?
This is Carolyn Picazio from the Kellogg Hubbard Library.
Yes.
I am calling with a local Montpelier history question.
Yes.
Do you know about the tooth in the East State Street wall?
Carolyn, you're one of my favorite people.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that.
This sounds promising.
Maybe I have vaguely heard something about it, but I know nothing. Okay, that's the bad news. That's the bad news.
The good news is that the Historical Society has been hard at work researching the history of East State Street for a public program this summer.
Titled East State Street, A Half Mile of History.
A history that includes the construction of our retaining wall.
I know what minute it was started and what minute it was finished.
So when was it?
Score. According to Carolyn, that's the window when our guy stuck his tooth in the wall. And if we know the when, we can find out the who.
My understanding was like the 1950s. Am I far? Are we way off?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
You couldn't be further off.
When was it built?
Let's see. Just a minute. So, I mean, this is a big deal here. This is, okay,
1898. A really old wall and a really old tooth. If Carolyn's story is to be believed, we aren't going to find the owner of this tooth short of digging up their grave. Which is seriously bumming Elvira out because she's still got all those questions that need answers.
Who thought it was hilarious? Did somebody get in trouble? What did the dentist think?
We decide to call it a day and I head back to the BLS lab, exhausted and a bit dejected. Those who should be in the know about this tooth aren't. And the person who would know the most is probably long gone. I'm logging my tape and scanning for any clues I may have missed when I get a call. It's Elvira again. She's bumped into her friendly neighbor, John Snell, the one who first told her about the construction worker theory. He's just told her it's not a theory at all, but proven fact. One that he knows because he was there the day it happened. John says he watched molar meet mortar with his very own eyes. When we come back, an alleged eyewitness account.
This episode of Brave Little State has support from Vermont Fish and Wildlife, conserving our grasslands with public support through the Vermont Habitat Stamp. Learn more at vtfishandwildlife.com.
Welcome back to Brave Little State. To bring you up to speed, we've activated the entire network of local history buffs, and Montpelier is abuzz about our case. Question asker Elvira Dana has enlisted her son to hang up some hand-drawn posters around town asking for info. And we've set up a tooth tip line, which has yielded mixed results.
We are the CIA. We are looking for information about the tooth.
But we've collected some critical clues. We're pretty positive the tooth belonged to a human, not a bear. And we know the wall it's embedded in was built in 1898. And now we have a source who claims he can corroborate the inciting incident.
I'm John Snell. Lived in town for 45 years.
We're back at the wall on East State Street with Elvira's neighbor, John. John's a fixture in Montpelier. He's served on a bunch of local committees and boards, and not long ago, the Rotary Club named him Citizen of the Year. So he's a busy guy. But he's kindly made time to share his eyewitness testimony with us.
I walk downtown every day to go to work, and walked down here one day and noticed these guys were pointing the wall.
Pointing the wall means repairing the mortar.
And this guy was holding his jaw, and I swear, reached into his pocket and pulled out this tooth and stuck it right in the fresh mortar.
Now, I don't make it my business to guess people's ages, but I feel pretty confident in saying that John Snell probably wasn't around when the wall was built in the 1800s. That's because, according to John, the tooth didn't go in the wall when it was being built, like we had heard, but during maintenance work almost a century later, in the 1980s. John says the culprit was a member of the Public Works street team.
He had gotten it pulled, you think, is your best guess?
I think so, yeah, because it was fresh. There it is, in the wall.
What this means is, this diligent worker could still be out there.
Hello, Public Works.
Hi, I'm trying to reach the garage. Is this the right number for the town
it
garage?
It is.
Oh, great.
We're hitting the phones again for the umpteenth time, calling around to anyone and everyone who might know who worked on the retaining wall in the late 80s. We've talked to all manner of former city officials, and one thing's become clear. If you want good town gossip, skip City Hall and go to the town garage.
What can I do for you?
Well, I'm trying to work out a little bit of a mystery.
Elvira gives her spiel to Public Works project assistant Jasmine Benson. She's explained our investigation to so many people that it's like she's reciting from a textbook.
And decided to stick it in the mortar over there.
Okay, so this is literally the first time I've ever heard this.
You don't get calls about the tooth every day?
I worked here almost 6 years, and this is the first time I've heard that. Let me put you through to Eric Ladd. He has worked here for many, many, many years,
okey-doke.
And he may be able to tell you. Hold on one second, okay?
You're very patient. Thank you.
No problem.
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
Yep.
Hi.
Eric Ladd, equipment supervisor in the equipment division. Elvira asks Eric if there's any way to know who worked on the wall in the 1980s.
Well, there's probably records upstairs, but that is super labor intensive to go digging through all the boxes.
Eric is justifiably less than enthusiastic about sifting through a decade of personnel records to help solve our municipal mystery. As he's looking for a way to politely let us down, a commotion ensues in the background.
Who is it?
Rick Lee.
Well, Dan's telling me Rick Lee.
Oh, you got somebody there who thinks he knows?
Oh, his brother. What's his real name? All right.
Oh, you're on it, huh?
Well, apparently this is something that's flown around the rumor mill before. So what's your number so we can call you back if we get on a
tip here?
An hour later, and we've decamped to the BLS satellite lab, a.k.a. Elvira's front yard, to wait for word from the garage. She's pacing back and forth, willing her phone to ring, when... It's Jasmine from the garage.
You found whose tooth it is! Oh my gosh,
The garage grapevine delivers. Jasmine's poked around, and she's got a name for us.
Pee-wee Lee, that's the best name in the universe.
He actually lives in Tennessee now.
Oh, fantastic.
Jasmine called ahead, and Pee-wee Lee in Tennessee is ready to talk.
And he'll tell you, or his wife may tell you on the phone, they call him Pee-wee Stories because, you know, these are little things that he does throughout his life that now they can talk about. And he tells this story every once in a while.
Wow, Jasmine, you did it. Thank you so very much, Jasmine, and
you're welcome.
I'm sure we'll be in touch. All right.
How do you feel?
I feel excited. Pee-wee Stories! This is a Pee-wee story that Pee-wee has been telling in Tennessee, and who knows elsewhere.
a bona fide Pee-wee story. Wow. I don't believe it.
I'm agog.
We post up in Elvira's kitchen. I'm getting my mics all set.
Test, test.
And Elvira is practically falling off the edge of her seat.
Again, I can't stop myself. Oh, it's ringing.
Hello?
Hi, is this Pee-wee?
This is Pee-wee.
Oh, well, I am happy to talk to you. My name is Elvira Dana, and I'm calling the Pee-wee Stories Hotline, looking for a good Pee-wee story.
Oh, and my goodness.
Jasmine from the town garage told me that you had a good one to tell.
Some of them can be talked about, and some probably be left alone, you know?
Fortunately, this particular Pee-wee story is suitable for a general audience.
Well, no, I used to work for the city of Montpelier a number of years ago, and I was on the street department. I think it was the late 80s or early 90s. The wall on East State Street was in bad need of freshly patching. An older man named Ray Jewett and I got saddled with the task of patching in the cracks and whatnot. On one particular day, I had to leave work early. I had to go to a dentist appointment. And they ended up having to pull this big molar in the side of my mouth because it had a very bad cavity. And so what I've done is I looked at the tooth when I was at the dentist's office, and I said, well, my gosh, that's a big tooth. I said, look at the roots on that thing. He said, yeah, he says, that's probably one of the bigger ones I've ever seen.
Well, you want to know how big it is? There's a rumor around town that it's a bear tooth.
Well, I'm not a bear. It is a human tooth. I was as big as a bear.
This guy named Pee-wee, he was 6'2" and 300 pounds at the time. So after his appointment, Pee-wee tucks the decaying tooth in his pocket so that he can give his sons a scared straight style lesson in dental hygiene.
So I had gone back to work, and I reached in my pocket to get my lighter, and I grabbed a hold of that tooth. And I said, oh, I forgot all about this thing. But I had it in my hand, and I said, you know what? It just popped in my mind. Hey, just stick in that wet cement, and just stick it in there and forget about it, you know? I said, well, I'll give the city of Montpelier something to talk about that nobody else has, is a tooth in the wall.
I did think maybe I should ask the city to make a little plaque for the tooth. If they were able to make a plaque for the tooth, what should it say?
A plaque for the tooth?
Yeah, I think there should be a little bronze plaque. What should it say?
Something to the effect of, here remains the immortal tooth of James Pee-wee Lee, or placed here after a dentist appointment.
That was the dream originally, is to know, like, what was this person thinking? Well, first of all, is it a person? Okay, yes, it is a person. A bear of a man, but not a bear's tooth. And to know, like, what was he thinking? Why did he put it in the wall? Was it a lark? What was he doing? How did it happen? And we have all those answers. And, like, it's the most beautiful bow you could tie on any story, I think. Is a Pee-wee story.
And there you have it. The Montpelier molar mystery. Solved. Case closed. A big thank you to our question asker / deputy detective, Elvira Dana, who will no doubt be up for a promotion after that stellar sleuthing. To see photos from our investigation, head to bravelittlestate.org or click the link in our show notes. While you're there, sign up for our free newsletter and ask a question about Vermont, our region, or its people that you want us to explore in a future episode. We're also on Instagram and Reddit at BraveStateVT. This episode was reported and produced by me, Burgess Brown, with editing from Sabine Pooks and Brittany Patterson. Our managing editor and senior producer is Josh Crane, and our executive producer is Angela Evansy. Our theme music is by Ty Gibbons, and other music comes from Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Sophie Stevens, Lexi Krupp, Anne Lee, Tim Heaney, Kevin Marlier, Jason Cass, Gideon Cass, and Natalie Cass, Dan Groberg, Paul Carnahan, Tom McArdle, Corinne Cooper, Steve Gray, Mike Doyle, and many, many other Montpelierites for helping us crack this case. Brave Little State is a production of Vermont Public and a proud member of the NPR network. If you like our show, you can make a gift at bravelittlestate.org/donate, or you can leave us a rating or a review on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back soon with more listener-powered Vermont journalism.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.